True crime, unsolved cases, strange disappearances. Join me as we travel through the timeline of some of the darkest acts in human history. I'm your host, Kevin Eustace, and welcome to the third season of The Deadly Countdown. Episode 5, Anthony Templet, Panicked Patricide.
I just killed my dad. What do I need to tell you?
So you said you just killed your dad?
Yeah.
Okay, and is he still alive, or?
Okay. I shot 3 times at him. He's on the ground.
Okay, you shot him 3 times with a gun?
Yes.
What you just listened to there was a panicked, distraught, and overwhelmed Anthony Templet calling 911 after shooting his own father, Bert Templet, dead. It's a case that gripped the nation. It's a case that threw up questions about the legal system, about the justice system, and about how fear, manipulation, and control over another human being can have literally deadly consequences. It's a shining example of what can happen if a parent doesn't show the due respect and care to one of their own children going through the teenage years, which, as we all know, can be literally tumultuous. Or is it a case of pure and simple cold-blooded murder? Welcome back to The Deadly Countdown, Season 3, Episode 5. I'm your host, Kevin Eustace, and we're already at our midway point for this season. As you've just heard, we're about to delve into one of the most complex cases in recent history. But before we do that, a quick shout-out to our wonderful team over at Patreon. When you sign up to join our Patreon team, not only do you receive these episodes, both ad-free and before everyone else, but you can also gain access to our Patreon-only podcast, Cold Case. On Cold Case, we take a look at some of the most famous and infamous unsolved mysteries of all time. We've already covered the likes of Natalie Wood's drowning, the D.B. Cooper case, the Black Dahlia murders, and many more. We are literally in the process of building one of the best true crime communities that's out there. So, if you like the idea of joining our club, head over to patreon.com/thedeadlycountdown. And next week, we'll be giving a special shout out to everyone who signed up over the last few weeks. So, if you like the sound of early ad-free releases and also gaining access to the Cold Case records, of which we've already built up a good few hours of back catalogue for you to listen to, head over to patreon.com/thedeadlycountdown. But right now, we need to ask ourselves, what turns an everyday teenage boy into someone who can kill their own father? Well, let's find out together. Because, for Anthony Templet, let's start the clock. This tragic incident unfolded on June the 3rd, 2019, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. This case rooted itself in the quiet confines of a family home and turned into a crime scene that captured national attention. The victim of this case, Bert Templet, was a Baton Rouge resident whose life came to a sudden and violent end at the hands of his youngest son. Bert's background, filled with complexities and controversies, later became a focal point in the legal battle that would ensue. But the central figure, Anthony Templet, was only 17 years old at the time of the incident. Known to be somewhat of a recluse, his actions on that fateful night led to a whirlwind of media coverage, public sympathy, and intense scrutiny of his motives and the family's dynamics. So it's a typical night in Baton Rouge. But in the Templet household, tensions that have been brewing beneath the surface are about to erupt. This is not just another family disagreement, it's one that will end with tragedy. But it would become the true crime conversation across the country. Now let's talk about our main figures. We've got Bert, a man whose life, as we'll discover, was as complex as the case itself, and Anthony, a teenager under his roof, navigating through what many would later argue was a turbulent and troubling home life. So, what happens in such a charged atmosphere? Well, we're about to jump into that world, uncovering the layers that led to that critical moment. We'll be looking at the darkest corners of human relationships. And believe me, it's as intriguing as it is heart-wrenching. But first, let's get to know Bert a bit better. Bert Templet was a figure known in the local community for both his charm and his complexity. While his professional life was not widely publicized, those who knew him described him as a person who could both be engaging and enigmatic. This dual nature often led to varied perception amongst his peers, contributing to a somewhat mysterious persona. As far as his professional undertakings are concerned, Bert was involved in several business ventures, though the specifics were often kept private. It was rumoured that he had his hands in various sectors, possibly including both the construction and automobile industries, which might explain some of the legal disputes which are well documented over the years. Bert's past was checkered with several legal issues that would hint at a deeper personal conflict. Court records indicated a history of minor criminal offences and several civil disputes, some of which involved allegations of aggressive behaviour or financial disagreements. These incidents painted a picture of a man who frequently found himself entangled in contentious situations, potentially straining his relationships at home and in his broader social circle. If we delve deeper into his family life, it was clear that Bert's relationships were complicated, to say the very least, but especially with his children. Following a contentious divorce, Bert gained custody of Anthony, which led to a highly isolated and controlled upbringing for Anthony. This decision and the manner in which he managed his household may have significantly impacted Anthony's development and perception of his father. Those living near the Templet household often observed a quiet, somewhat secretive life. Neighbours rarely saw Anthony outside of the house, and noted that Bert was protective, perhaps overly so, regarding his family's privacy. This isolation from the community likely contributed to the lack of understanding about the family's internal dynamics, only coming to light after the tragic events that unfolded. So let's get a bit closer to understanding Bert. I mean, he's no open book. It's like his life was a series of chapters some would rather keep closed. Friends would say one thing, core files say another. It's trying to piece together a puzzle where half the pieces are hidden under the rug. It makes you wonder what leads a man to become so multifaceted. And what about Anthony? Anthony Templet's early life was largely defined by the significant isolation imposed on him by his father. After being removed from a more conventional social environment at a young age, following his parents' contentious split, Anthony was primarily homeschooled. This isolation not only limited his academic exposure, but severely restricted any social interaction, leading to a cloistered existence that was far from the norm most teenagers experienced. Now, despite the unconventional and restricted educational setting, Anthony did show some potential and aptitude towards learning, especially through digital and online platforms. His education was sporadic at best, based more on self-guided learning and occasional formal homeschool lessons. Now, this type of learning environment, whilst flexible, it does often leave gaps in educational and social development. Due to this secluded upbringing, Anthony's social skills were notably underdeveloped. He had few, if any, friends his own age, and his interactions outside the family home were minimal. This lack of socialization was often visible in his difficulty in communicating effectively or understanding social cues, which are essential skills that typically develop through regular interaction with peers, especially at that age. The relationship between Anthony and his father, Bert, was complex and often strained. Reports suggest that Bert's controlling nature and the secretive environment of their home life created a very tense atmosphere. Anthony's limited contact with his other family members, including his mother, from whom he was separated at a young age, further complicated his emotional and psychological development. Those who would interact with Anthony described him as reserved and introverted, often appearing uneasy in social settings. However, under that quiet exterior, there were glimpses of a young man who desired more from life, more freedom, more interaction, more normality. His character was undoubtedly shaped by the restrictive and controlled environment imposed on him by his father, leaving him very little room to express himself or develop any independence. So here we've got this kid who's basically grown up off the grid. Imagine being a teenager but with no Facebook, no Snapchat, nothing. Just you, your thoughts, and a lot of time to ponder over them. For many of us, it's tough to picture a life so boxed in. And it begs the question, how does that isolation affect a young mind? You do have to ask, how does a kid like Anthony navigate a world that's so confined? And more importantly, what happens when the walls of that world start closing in further? Well, that's what we're about to find out. It's not just about the what, it's about the why. Why did things end up the way they did on that fateful night? In the months leading up to the murder, their relationship, Anthony and Bert's, had reportedly become increasingly strained. Neighbours and occasional visitors would note more frequent loud arguments. Sometimes they could be heard from outside. These disputes would always revolve around Anthony's desire for autonomy and Bert's strict control over his life, including his limited social interactions and when and how he could leave the home. Bert was known to maintain tight control over Anthony, monitoring his phone usage, internet activity, and even limiting his physical mobility, rarely allowing him out of the house unsupervised. This high level of surveillance and control likely exacerbated the tension, and as Anthony grew more resentful, he became more desperate for independence.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Specific incidents that hinted at an escalating conflict included a particularly intense argument about Anthony's request to attend a local event with friends, which Bert vehemently denied. Such denials were common, but the intensity of their confrontations had visibly increased. Anthony began showing small signs of rebellion against his dad's strict rules, such as secretly using a neighbor's Wi-Fi to get on the internet, attempting to contact his estranged mother. These acts of defiance suggested a growing desperation for contact with the world beyond his father's restrictions. Imagine being a fly on the wall in the Template house. You've got a young guy, 17 years old, practically a kid, right? And he's living under the thumb of a dad who's got the house locked down like Fort Knox. Checking your phone, checking your internet history, and a social life? Forget about it. The tension in the air could be cut with a knife. Consider the emotional cooker that was brewing. Anthony, desperate just to have a little, look at what life was like beyond those walls. And every time he tried to push a little, to see if maybe this time he could get a bit of freedom, he's met with a flat no. It's a classic pressure cooker situation, and every argument, every denied request, just turns up that heat a notch. Think about these small acts of defiance. Using the neighbor's Wi-Fi. Reaching out to his own mother he hasn't seen in God knows how long. Every act is like a quiet plea for help. A sign he's getting to his limit. It's these moments that whisper to us, hinting something's going to give. Something's about to break. On June the 3rd, 2019, that evening the house followed its typical routine. Bert watched TV in the living room, Anthony was in his room. There was tension from an earlier dispute still lingering in the air, setting a somber tone for that evening. Late that night, around 11 p.m, another dispute erupts. Louder, more intense than usual. The argument, reportedly about Anthony's use of the phone past the hours permitted by Bert, escalated into a heated exchange of words. The argument between Anthony and Bert reached a critical point when Bert allegedly threatened to physically discipline Anthony. This threat was not out of character for Bert, given the history of strict and controlling behaviour. However, on this particular night, the stakes felt higher to Anthony, maybe down to the cumulative pressure of their past conflict. The firearm involved was reportedly a handgun. It was typically kept in Bert's bedroom, ostensibly for home protection. The location of this weapon was known by Anthony. Bert had shown him where the gun was stored, possibly as part of an approach to teach Anthony about safety and responsibility. However, feeling cornered and under immediate threat, Anthony made a decision that would haunt him for the rest of his life. He retrieved the gun from its usual storage place. This act was driven by a mix of fear and desperation. Anthony feared his father's threat of physical discipline was going to be both imminent and potentially Sevilla. So we have Anthony, a teenager, in a heated argument that suddenly escalates from nothing. His father, the dominant figure in his life, now threatens him physically. Now, for many, a threat can just be words. But in that charged atmosphere, filled with years of control and conflict, those words are like a lit match thrown into a barrel of gunpowder. Picture Anthony, his heart pounding, his mind racing. He knows where the gun is. It's been part of the house's landscape, a grim reminder of protection that suddenly has a new purpose. He makes a split-second decision to run to his father's room, to the place where the gun is kept. And it's not just about the gun, it's what it represents in that desperate moment. The chance, the one chance to not feel powerless. As Anthony holds the gun, the weight in his hands is more than just physical. It's the weight of all the years of isolation, of control, of fear. It's a tragic pivot point where fear turns into action, and in that moment, the lines blur between defense and desperation, between control and chaos. And in that split second of chaos, he makes a decision. A decision that can't be undone. Shots are fired. It's a scenario straight from a tragic drama. The aftermath is just as chaotic as the act itself. There's the frantic 911 call. Anthony's voice on the line, almost zombie-like, scared. Cops flood the scene and there's this sudden overwhelming realization of the gravity of what's just occurred. And amidst all of this, there's Anthony, a kid, really, at the center of a storm he never wanted. After Anthony's panicked call, the dispatcher quickly gathers the essential details and dispatches police and emergency medical services to the scene. The first responders arrive within minutes, and they find Bert critically injured.
Multiple gunshot wounds.
The scene was tense and chaotic, but Anthony was still on the premises. He didn't run. He was visibly shaken and cooperative. Police immediately secured the scene, noting the position of Bert and evidence such as the firearm, shell casings, and signs of the earlier altercation. The house showed little sign of disarray, except for the area where the confrontation occurred. That in itself suggested a sudden escalation, as opposed to some prolonged struggle. Forensic teams collected evidence methodically. The handgun used in the shooting was taken into custody for ballistic testing and fingerprint analysis. Other evidential points, such as digital devices, surveillance footage from people who might have a camera on their home, testimonies from neighbours who might have heard the dispute, they were all secured as well. Obviously, upon arrival, they detain and read Anthony his rights. After all, he did confess on the 911 call. In his initial statement, obviously overwhelmed, he claimed self-defense, stating that he feared for his life during the argument with his father. Anthony was arrested and taken to a local police station, and he was formally processed. At this time, he was questioned further by the detectives, and his responses remained consistent with his first statement about the night's events, emphasizing he felt threatened by his dad, that he had a genuine fear for his own life, and that's why he went for the gun. So here we are. This is what the aftermath of a family dispute turned deadly looks like. You can imagine the sound of sirens breaking the night silence as they go round your normally quiet neighbourhood. And inside that home is a stark contrast to the calm exterior. A grim reality of what took place. Think about those detectives that walk into that house, They're not just looking at the physical evidence. They're trying to piece together the shattered fragments of a family's life. They get every bit of evidence, knowing that each item tells part of a heart-wrenching story. And then we have Anthony, a teenager, a kid, sitting in the back of a police car. His entire future, in fact his entire life, hanging in the balance. His initial call for help now leads to a much more profound plea. A plea for understanding. A plea for someone to look beyond the immediate tragedy and look at the years of underlying issues that led to this. Following his arrest, Anthony is initially charged with manslaughter. This charge reflects the legal interpretation that the act was not premeditated, but it occurred in the heat of the moment. Under circumstances that suggested a possible justification, or at the very least, mitigating factors. Anthony was appointed a public defender because of the family's financial constraints. The defense team worked to frame the shooting as an act of self-defense, highlighting the alleged ongoing abuse and the immediate threat posed by Bert on the night of the incident. The defense argued that Anthony's actions were a direct result of years of psychological and physical abuse at the hands of his dad. They presented the evidence of the isolated and controlled environment that Anthony was raised in, his limited social interaction, Bert's history of aggressive behavior. The prosecution acknowledged that the troubled family dynamics were there, but they emphasized the legal standards for justifying the use of lethal force. They questioned whether Anthony's perception of the threat was reasonable and whether there were alternate ways to handle the situation. After extensive discussions and reviews and psychological evaluations, both parties agreed to a plea deal. This agreement was influenced by factors such as Anthony's age, his mental and emotional state, and the specifics of the familial situation leading up to the incident. Under the plea deal, Anthony would plead guilty to a lesser charge of negligent homicide, which in turn carries a reduced sentence. This resolution was seen as a compromise that acknowledged the complex factors at play, including the defensive context of his actions. So, young Anthony, now caught in the gears of the justice system. His life story's been laid bare in the courtroom, and it's a battle not just about the facts of one tragic night, but how we interpret years of hidden turmoil in a family's walls. Imagine the courtroom drama as two layers paint very different pictures of the same house. On one side, a defense attorney advocating for understanding and leniency, highlighting a young life shaped by fear and by control. And on the other, a prosecutor questioning the boundaries of self-defense, challenging the jury to consider the implications of taking a life. And as the gavel falls on the plea deal, it's a solemn moment. Anthony stood there, gets his sentence. One that's both a beginning and an end. It's a bittersweet compromise that leaves room for rehabilitation, but acknowledges the irreversible consequences of that fateful night. This isn't just a legal outcome. It's a poignant chapter in a much larger story of pain, survival, and the search for justice. The media obviously picked up on the story quickly, initially focusing on the sensational aspect of a son killing his dad. Headlines often painting a simplistic picture of the incident, drawing immediate public attention and, obviously, judgment. But as details emerged about the family dynamic and Anthony's upbringing, the media coverage shifted. Both journalists and commentators began to delve deeper into the complexities of the case, discussing themes of abuse, control, the psychological impact on Anthony. And this shift helped to reframe the public's understanding of the incident. Going from a mere act of violence to a tragic outcome of a deeply troubled family life. Public opinion was obviously divided initially. Some expressed outrage at the act and sympathy for Bert. Others felt empathy for Anthony, viewing him as a victim of his upbringing. As the trial progressed and more information became available, public sentiment shifted more and more in favour of understanding Anthony's situation. Social media platforms and comment sections on news articles all became battlegrounds for discussion about child abuse, parental rights, and the justice system's handling of these cases. Several child advocacy groups and psychologists weighed in on the case, still using it as a platform to discuss broader issues related to child welfare and the effects of abusive parenting. Their insights contributed to a more nuanced public discourse about the case. You see, the story of Anthony and Bert Templet isn't just another news item. It's a case study on family secrecy and tragedy. Every new piece of information added layers to the public's perception, turning those initial judgments into a more reflective discourse on the hidden battles many of us face behind closed doors. Think about the people watching this unfold. There's anger, there's sympathy, there's disbelief. It is like watching a drama series, but it's real life. And it's someone's life unravelling for the world to see. How, even as an adult, do you begin to digest that, let alone a teenage boy? It's a mix of horror at the act and heartache for the boy. And then the experts step in, and their contributions elevate the conversation, making it more than just about this one case, suggesting, indeed demanding, that the legal system should always be evolving for the sake of us all. It's just such a tragedy. It takes events like this for realizations like that to kick in. I want to thank each and every one of you for going on this ride with me on this amazing and heartbreaking case. All the media you heard at the start is covered under fair use, and the links to that clip are in the show notes. In the meantime, I'll speak to you all next week for episode 6 of The Deadly Countdown Season 3. But until next week, for Anthony Templet, let's stop the clock.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.